Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Oh, that was new, wasn't it?
We weren't talking about recording arrangements.
Or anything. We weren't talking. I think our viewers thought, oh, my God, have we got away with it? Are they not here this week? No. Hello, everybody. Here we are.
Hello. Me and Aidan back again to haunt you for an hour in our monthly podcast.
Aidan and I. Please.
Sorry,
Summer.
Aidan and I. Frightfully British and stiff upper lip. Unbelievably, it's now December. Show 234. And, you know, before we blink, this lovely winter and lovely weather and lovely climate will just be gone and we'll be back in the blazing heat of global warming again. It's the winter months, to me, pass just so annoyingly quickly.
Speak for yourself. I know it's December because I'm cold. It's horrendous. I hate it. I mean, really, talk about takes all sorts. I mean, I utterly respect your preference for temperature, Ted, but not I, sir. Bring back the summer. Can't wait for spring. Horrid cold weather.
Oh, dear. It's great that we're all different. And most different people would tune into our lovely show. Whateverworks.works is our website, and you can find links to all the claptrap we're going to talk about today there. AidanBell.com is where you can find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you can find me. And that's about it, really. So MeWe Group is where we try and scoop up all the lovely stuff that we're talking about. And we'll get to that in a second. What's this you put in here about Marks and Spencers?
Oh, I'm excited. This tells you the sort of life I lead these days. It's not a job in Las Vegas or a trip to America. It's Marks and Spencers opening round the corner. We've got Tesco. I'm sure listeners have picked that up over the years, that we have a pretty massive sized Tesco around the corner, and that's our shop of choice, merely because it's there. But there's a site opposite that used to have a Next in it for some years, that's been closed for some years and is now in the process of being reopened as Ching! Marks and Spencer's Food Hall. Can't wait.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, we get Marks and Spencer's round the corner. I can walk to it.
Really nice.
So.
Oh, that's super. The delicatessen counter is just lovely.
Yes. Yeah, it is a cut above, darling. You know, correcting your grammar at the beginning of the show. This is why, you see, we do prefer to dine at Waitrose or Marks and Spencer's.
They are expensive, but the one at Chichester, I used to go to the deli counter, and you'd buy like one really lovely, beautifully made fish cake for like about £4.
Yes.
And it's just really is absolutely lovely, but you know you could get another one for like 50p somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we'll be sensible and we'll use it in tandem with Tesco. But the sidings are up, the M&S frontage is in front of the shop, and there are people with them drilled and cranes and various mechanics going on and building work. So I will keep you informed. Watch this space. Ha ha.
And don't forget the Coronation Chicken. Marks and Spencer's Coronation Chicken is absolutely lovely.
You should be working for M&S, Ted. You really should. You're doing a very good job here. So how are you, sir?
I'm all right. This week I've been mainly being nursemaid to my dad. He's got this lump of cancer on his head, and they're dealing with it. They've cut it away, and he's feeling sorry for himself. But actually, they've said pretty much that he'll be fine. They haven't. It's not deeply rooted or anything. Anyway, one of the things that I noticed, and this might belong in kind of cheap as chips or something, but I noticed that in the old days, and it might also belong in better before, I suppose, in the old days you had to go, if you wanted dressings and sterile, this stuff called inodyne, which is supposed to stop infection and blah, blah, blah. And I've been getting all this stuff. In the old days, you would have had to go to your surgery or at least to the pharmacy to get this stuff and probably pay through the nose. But I put a list of things in the recording notes here, five different things, which are all available now on Amazon. And they are exactly the same things as you would get from the pharmacy and pay through the nose for. And they're all really well priced and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the point was really is that I was just surprised. I've never had to buy things like wound ulcer dressings you know. And there it is. It's all over Amazon. And yes, they are providing them from third party. They're not actually from Amazon, but the Amazon just seems to be a shopping front window for absolutely any. Can you buy a car on Amazon yet? I think you can in America.
You probably can. It's this great dichotomy that goes on. On the one hand, we hate the fact that it's doing that and it's killing the high streets and it's destroying shopping as we knew it and it's changing the world. But on the other hand, it's so bloody convenient. You can order something while you're lying in bed at night and turn out the light, and when you wake up in the morning, it's on the doormat. I mean, you know, it's hard to hate something that's so wonderful.
yeah, definitely. But there you go. Have you done any shopping lately?
Well, talking of Amazon, actually, I spotted something. I actually heard something on Radio 4, darling. I was listening to the radio and I was just astonished. The whole rise of AI, you know, and everybody's been talking AI for months now. But I learned on the radio that you can actually say to your smart speaker, I would like to buy a Christmas present for Ted Salmon. He is interested in this, that and the other, and his address is such and such. Can you buy something and send it to him? And AI will then go to Amazon, choose something, order it and have it sent to Ted Salmon. And good you don't have grief. To do a thing. You just have to just tell AI, OK, these are the people I want to buy Christmas presents for. These are their interests and these are their addresses. And this is how much I want to spend. Off you go. I mean, what is happening to the world, really?
I've not tried that. I'm amazed that that works. I wouldn't be surprised if it worked in America, but here as well. Wow.
Yeah, I heard about it. Autonomous Christmas shopping. Now, I may have made up the bit about the smart speaker because you know what I'm like. It may be that you actually have to go online and do it. You have to type with your fingers. Right. How old-fashioned. But nevertheless, you can instruct AI to do your Christmas shopping on your behalf and send it for you. And no doubt write the cards as well. I mean, again, I suppose for people, I don't know. I mean, if you're disabled, if you're in a wheelchair, and you know, there must be use cases for where this would be phenomenal. But for the general populace, for goodness sake, get a life and do it yourself. What's the point otherwise?
However, having said that, counter argument is that every year my family sit around thinking, oh, what on earth am I going to get for so-and-so? They've got everything and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, if someone can dig into your knowledge bank and come up with something interesting and different, then why not?
I mean, this is a conversation we have around this time of year every year. And, you know, in our house, we have the sort of self-inflicted Scroogeism where we just say, let's not bother. I won't give you a present. Yeah. You don't give me a present. We still love each other. End of story. Which doesn't really embody the Christmas spirit very well, but it saves money and effort. Anyway, shall we move on?
There you go. Yeah. Feedback from our lovely MeWe members.
Daniel B., one of our loveliest MeWe members, brings us the Oster One Touch Blender. I've been making smoothies and carrot juice for before workouts, says Daniel. I've found that the Oster Blender makes it incredibly simple. I just hit the smoothie button and it blends perfectly. If I want juice, I leave it on high for 2 minutes after the smoothie button is done, and that way I can have perfect carrot juice or smoothies. I had to experiment with the ingredients to get it tasting right, but now I can make homemade smoothies with just a few pieces of pineapple from a tin, a banana, crushed ice and tinned pears. For the carrot juice, I buy pre-cut carrot slices for $1 a bag, he's in the States, remember, and add water, crushed ice and a banana. The cost of juice made from Jamba Juice at Juice Cafe, which I've looked up, it's a cafe in America near where Daniel lives, is $14. That's £10.56 in today's money in the UK, folks, for a 16-ounce drink, which Daniel quite rightfully says is ridiculous. £10 for a 16-ounce fruit. So I've got to put my teeth in for a 16-ounce fruit drink. Yeah, definitely do it yourself. Money, it's like we've talked about my orange squeezer that we have at home that's just phenomenal and produces beautiful fresh squeezed oranges for a tenth of the price you'd pay at such a cafe. Yeah, good one, Daniel. Yeah, the One Touch, the Oster One Touch Blender. Check it out.
He continues, it's a healthy dessert item. I think of it as using your favourite fruit. Keep in mind that fruits like apples are harder and will need water to help get blended up. Otherwise, you'll get a thick paste that won't mix. When I make a carrot smoothie, I use 1 cup of water, 1/2 cup of crushed ice and the carrots. I like to use 1 harder fruit, water and crushed ice, plus 2 softer fruits. I found that a tin of pineapple is much softer and cheaper. Sliced pineapple rings are best because it's easier to measure and keep better in the fridge. So in America, they have sliced pineapple rings the same as us. That's interesting. When we were kids, we used to have a sliced pineapple ring on top of a digestive biscuit and a bit of Nestle cream in the middle. That was one of our puddings we used to have.
I think I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah. Good shout, Daniel. It's I could use my ninja thingy, whatever it's called, soup maker for this, but of course in a Aidan Bell type way I never have done. I've only ever made soup in it.
Yeah, once you find out what it does well, stick to it. I think Daniel is definitely too smoothies as Chris Kelly is to coffee. Daniel's obviously becoming the expert in smoothies and the go-to man for any questions. Talking of Chris Kelly, Chris popped up with a fabulous one this month. Got a lot of traction. What do you wear in bed? He proposed. He said, I have always preferred to be naked between the sheets, but on cooler nights, I find that I like to cover my shoulders and arms. I still like to keep my lower half uncovered, so rather than buy pyjamas and only wear the tops, some years ago I turned to the flannel night shirt. As well as meeting my personal requirements for comfort and warmth, it also covers my dignity once vertical, which a pyjama top would not. Very cunning, very cunning. Yeah, that was a good one, and lots of people chipped in on the group, offering various options such as shorts and a T-shirt, a hot water bottle, minimalist, T-shirt and light joggers in winter, and shorts in the summer, and pyjamas in the winter, T-shirts and shorts in the summer. And since I know you're all dying to know, dear listener, I'm pyjamas all year round, light in the summer and warmer in the winter. I need to feel enclosed. I like the feeling of something on my body, feeling as if I'm being sort of hugged in my bed. If I get into bed naked, I feel that something is missing and I need to be cocooned. So pyjamas all year round for me. What about you, Mr. Salmon?
Well, I was saying in the group in response to all this going on that I used to have a nightshirt and I did quite like it. When it wore out, I didn't replace it. I don't know why. But as for what I wear to bed, I wear it depends on the heat. I mean, I have worn nothing when it's really, really horribly
hot. I can imagine
hot.
You taking a bucket of ice to bed with you, actually, and the eccentric Mr.
Definitely.
Salmon.
But one thing I was noting was that when I was with a woman, either in my 2 marriages or girlfriends or whatever, and spending the night in a double bed with a lady, I always wore nothing. And so did the other person, always. And as soon as I've gone to be staying on my own in between those times, I've worn stuff like a T-shirt and shorts or... If it's cold, then, really a lot more. But anyway, there was an interesting distinction between if you're going to bed with someone for me or not.
Yes, indeed. I mean, whether you're solo in bed or with a partner or partners. And also, depending on the time of life, when you're younger, when you're older, it can vary. But interesting. And I think I posted in the group, I got a nice little shortcut. My phone flashed up the beginning of Chris's post saying, I like to spend my time, I like to be naked in bed. And then MeWe helpfully said, would you like to see more? I thought to myself, no, thank you. I think I don't really need to see any more of Chris Kelly naked in bed. Thank you very much.
I did have a look on Amazon to see how much nightshirts are, and they're incredibly cheap. Now, they might be rubbish quality, of course, but you can certainly get one for 7 or 8 quid or that sort of price. if you're prepared to get one from Amazon. Anyway, one thing I did get from Amazon was my a kind of landline phone for my dad, because one day his phone wouldn't work and he was trying to phone me, his mobile phone.
Yeah.
And he said, what do I do if I can't phone you? So he was feeling very assured by the fact that I got this landline phone for him. Well, it's not really a landline phone anymore, because you plug it into the router. It's a BT Decor 2200. It's a big button phone. And he doesn't routinely use it, but it's there if he wants to or if he needs to. And I showed him how to plug it into the router, and it's all very straightforward. And good as gold, it works. Puts 4 AA batteries in it. Hurrah! And and it just works like a landline for him. I did try to explain to him that it's not really a landline. It's kind of using the network in a different, slightly different way. But anyway, he seems happy. And the anxiety of that situation has left his head. So BT Decor 2200, good standby phone.
And not too expensive if you want to actually buy one by itself. What is it? 28.80 you've written in our
report. That's a good price. Under 30 quid.
We have something similar but different. We were actually given a phone by Virgin. Being given something by Virgin, that sounds like an oxymoron, but actually they did. They gave us a free phone when we were switched over to digital, when they killed our good old copper landline and we changed over to the digital system. Because my mother is elderly and vulnerable, they actually gave us a similar phone. Looks very similar to the one you've just spoken about for your father, but it's actually a mobile because it's got a SIM in it.
Oh, okay.
It's the Motorola FW500, which a bit very, again, similar to your father. We don't use it at all as a phone. It's there, and my mother knows that should there be either a power cut or an internet downage, is there such a word, my mother can pick up the Motorola and use it because it's a SIM. What I didn't realise is that it connects through our digital voice line, whatever that is. Is that what they call the being connected through the web these days?
I think it's the router, the same thing.
Yeah, so it's plugged into the router. But if we lose power and or internet, the SIM kicks in and it becomes a mobile phone that works with the SIM.
Okay.
So mum can, if ever... I mean, we've never had the situation. We've never once used it. It sits there. We've never touched it. But should there be such a situation as it's required, she should be able to just pick it up and call under any conditions. Ours is £95, darling, if you wanted to buy one yourself. But we were given it by Virgin.
Do you think you ought to test it?
I have tested it. No. I mean, I'm not quite that stupid. I admit it was a year ago when we got it, but I know I did put a call in and out, and it does work.
Good. Very nice.
And I'm curious. I'm wondering what Virgin would do if we started using it on a regular basis, whether we'd get an email saying we're going to charge you the earth because you're using your emergency phone when you shouldn't. So I have actually drilled it into my mother. Do not use this phone unless you're dying.
Yeah. In actual fact, my dad doesn't want to use it, because I said to him, look, if you want to use it as your default phone, you can. And he said, no, I don't want to, because all my contacts and everything is in my mobile phone. He's, you know, in some ways, he's not living in the 1940s.
No. I mean, my mother still has a little book with all the numbers written in by hand and crossed out and new numbers updated.
Right.
Yeah. Good on your father.
Right, Daniel B is back now with the Nakoichi elevated ceramic cat bowl. This elevated water bowl for my cat is great. It's porcelain, so there's no risk of lead contamination, unlike my old ceramic one. I didn't know that. It has a painted picture of Mount Fuji on it, and I like the little cat footprints. The elevated height means that my cat doesn't have to bend down to drink so much. 25 quid this is. Yes, elevating. I thought cats like to be down on the floor.
I thought they did too.
On their haunches.
That's what I thought.
If you lift their bowl up, they're going to have to stand to drink. But maybe there's something in that. I don't know anything about cats, really.
Well, anyway, on a similar theme, Duncan Robertson also brings us a cat feeder. This is the Cat Water Fountain, which is basically a bowl similar to the one you've just described. But this one has a little fountain in the middle of it. It's very sweet if you look at the pictures. It's made of stainless steel and provides continuous source of fresh running water 24/7, says Duncan. I take you to task on that, Duncan. Fresh water? I mean, surely this is just circulating the water in the bowl. I don't think it'll be fresh for 24 hours. Anyway, not to worry. The nose on the side of the bowl turns red when the water level is too low, and it has an LED night light that guides cats to the fountain, even in darkness. Huh? Hang on, cats can see in the dark. They don't need an LED nightlight. But very sweet anyway. For cats that can't be asked to use their night vision.
Or
blind cats. It has an LED light. There are three different drinking options. Calm Flow, Stream, and Bubbling Top. It runs on an electric pump. There is a dumb version that you have to turn on and off manually. Oh, the trials and tribulations. And a smart one, of course, that's controlled by an app. Energy-saving mode on the latter runs for 5 minutes and then turns off for 15 in a cycle. This sounds like a lot of fun. I don't mean to diss it, Duncan. I think this does sound like great fun. And if we had a cat, I would certainly buy one. A water fountain drinker for cats. Because, I mean...
You've got one for your fish, haven't you?
Oh, I mean, I love water, and I've got bubbly water, and I've got a waterfall in the garden and a stream. I mean, as you know, I mean, I love playing. I've got a pond in the garden. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. as I say, if I had a cat, I would absolutely be into this. Nice call, Duncan. Thank you.
Yeah, very nice indeed. Right, we're back on pens now.
Oh, yes.
Ed House and Chris Kelly, of course, chipping in because he's our pen guru. Ed House has bought the Calweco Collection fountain pen, Lilliput Colibri. Colibri.
Can I just say I didn't understand any of those words?
Fair enough, yeah. Well, one of them is about to be explained to you. Colibri is the German word for hummingbird. And it appropriately describes the mesmerising tones of this Calweco Lilliput. Hummingbirds get their colourful appearance due to the surface structure of their feathers, known as the phenomenon of interference, where light is reflected. Reminiscent of this play of colour, we have the Calweco. However, Chris Kelly chipped into the group to stamp on Ed's enthusiasm and says, they're crap. he didn't actually use that word, but Chris declares that he does have an illness. Despite having several drawers full of seldom used pens, I've just imported a handmade Japanese celluloid fountain pen that cost £250. And a USA-made titanium...
Cerakote.
What's that word?
Cerakote.
Ballpoint Pilot G2 that cost $200. Someone shoot me now, says Chris. Yeah, we know that Chris is a pen fanatic, almost as much as he is a copy fanatic. But they're so expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, but can I say, in fairness to Ed, if you're a dedicated expert like Chris and your pens are in the £200 mark, then of course you're going to consider something like Ed's find to be crap in inverted commas, which I think is unfair because Ed's looking at a completely different price point. I have to say, Ted, I giggled away to myself here because you talked about the German word for hummingbird, appropriately describing the mesmerising tones of this pen, and I thought, does the pen go zzzz? I'm thinking, how does the pen make the mesmerising tone of a hummingbird? But there we go. That's just because I'm a fool.
it's the kind of the shimmering colours on it. It does look very attractive, to be fair. And that's £100 for that one. So, you know, it's halfway towards Chris Kelly's £250 almost. It's a nice looking pen, Ed, and I'm glad that you like it. We at Whatever Works are glad you like it. Just ignore that, Chris.
Each to their own.
Ted's Almagundi.
Oh, on the last show, we were talking about initials and middle names.
That's right, yes.
I stumbled into this article after we were talking about that, of the man who has the longest name in the world. This buffoon, called Lawrence Wilkins, went down to the deed poll office, or whatever it's called in New Zealand, and he decided to make himself the longest name in the world. He He's a 60-year-old New Zealander, and he put 2,251 middle names. And he went down. He went down to the. It is a Guinness Book World Record now. But apparently, according, the end of this story is that the deed poll office, because he did this, and they couldn't refuse him because it was within their rules. As soon as they had done this, they changed the law so no one else could do it ever again.
No one's going to come in, yeah. I also wonder, what an obscure number, 2,251. I wonder if that's the maximum that the deed poll office would allow him to put in.
I mean, yeah.
It'd be interesting to meet him and say, what's your name? And he can't, if he can't recite them all, you say, you don't know your own name? How stupid are you?
Or if you're filling in a form that says, you know, for a passport, it says, yes, you've got to put your all your names.
Yeah, you've got to put your complete, your full name, including... Yeah. Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
I wonder who bought it.
I'd like to say a big thank you to everyone using my affiliate link, because I got, on the 18th of November, a 48 pound voucher.
Wow.
Which, now this does reflect my affiliate link pennies since the 18th of September, but I worked it out to be about £24 a month and about £6 a week, which doesn't sound very much, but actually it's really nice and it's really helpful and it keeps things ticking along. £6 a week is like two coffees. So I really am grateful, and you can use my link when you go to Amazon by heading for tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, then just shop as normal. I know what's been bought, but I don't know who's bought it, as you're about to discover. It really helps with the pennies. They give me a percentage of what your item has cost. And it can vary between about, you know, 0.5% and 5% typically. But it's difficult to know what's what. But yeah, £6 a week, £48 voucher. Thanks very much, everyone. And that does keep things going.
I don't know where you buy your coffee. Two coffees for £6. One and a half.
Well, down at the plantation in Abergele, you could get a large Americano for £1.95.
Blimey.
So maybe that's a thing about North Wales versus the south of England.
Yeah, I mean, my general experience is being on the road, out and about. You know, you can spend more often than not, you'll spend over £4 on a cup of coffee these days.
Right, yep. And anyone wanting to look up the plantation in Abergele, it's now closed, so you won't find it.
they went bankrupt. They weren't charging enough for their coffee.
Yes. it's now actually a really nice little art come sort of antique-y type shop. It's a nice little wander, actually, when you've got a few minutes to spare. Anyway, somebody bought one of your thingies, and I thought it might be you, which is an oil-filled radiator. I thought you might have been adding to your stock over there.
No, not I, sir.
No. Okay. This is the Oipler Electrical 2,000-watt nine-fin oil-filled radiator, which runs on electricity, obviously. It does look very much like the kind of ones you bought, I think. This five-fin one, which this person has bought for about £30, is really cute and dinky. There's various power output devices there's various power outputs on the device. Like, you can turn it down to 1,000 watts or up to 2,000 watts. You can dial in to control the temperature. It's on wheels, which is nice. You can move it around the place. There's an overheat protection system. And also, you can get in 5-fin, 7-fin, 9-fin and 11-fin, so different sizes. The 5-fin one looks completely bonkers. It looks far too narrow to be of any use, but I was thinking that maybe under my desk by my feet in those cold mornings it would be quite nice when I get my den in the garage. Anyway, these things range from about £30 to £50, and this person has bought the 9-fin one. And so I thank you so much for doing that, using my affiliate link. Looks nice, doesn't it?
It does. And I mean, all I can say is the five that we got are from De'Longhi, just an alternative make. And I absolutely adore them. And they've been serving us terribly well now for some years, heating the house beautifully and not so expensively in the winter. So I hope it serves you well, whoever you are.
Cool.
Still using and still using.
I am still using, thus I am still alive, my cold shine ladder stop mat. I believe I told the story when I brought this onto the show in March 2023 that we have a slightly slippery floor in the hall above which the trapdoor for our loft is. Grammar, Aiden. Which means that when I put the ladder up to go up to the loft, I'm a little concerned that the ladder's going to go whoosh and slip away on the floor. So I researched and I bought this mat, which cost me $15.99 at the time I bought it. I couldn't find it as available at all these days. But it's basically just a small semicircular rubber mat with a ridge on it. So you place the mat on the floor and you put the feet of the ladder against the ridge and it holds firm and steady and you can go up and down the ladder like a nun's drawers and nothing will happen, nothing will move and you'll come down safely. That's it.
I'm seeing links in Amazon for different retailers.
Yeah,
for
I'm
about,
sure they're available in various
for about £16. Right. So it has gone up by the looks of it. Yeah,
but I mean, it was £15-16, very, very well spent. I mean, it could be a very nasty, nay, fatal accident if a ladder slips away and you fall down from your loft onto the hard floor. So certainly well worth ten times definitely. That for the safety that it provides. So good, I would recommend that.
Has the floor got carpet on it or wood?
No, it's a wood. It's a, what do you call it, parquet? What do you call it? I mean, it's quite cheap.
Oh, parquet.
I laid it myself, but it's just the wooden strips. Right. That.
Pretty, pretty nice.
What's
right,
got?
Jeremy Harpham is still using the Aura Glow LED security lights, which originally were recommended by me on Whatever Works. He says that we have three of these to light the driveway and the wheelie bin cubby to make life easier. I've only had to change the battery 3 times for the driveway and 2x for the bins. Really appreciate them at this time of year, particularly on bin night. I love that they run on AA batteries. Hurrah! I've had to replace the sticky pads that hold them up with the 3M ones, but they all survived a fall that required those pad replacements. So 3x AA batteries, hurrah! they are motion activated. I know that they're £11.99 each in black and white because I bought another one this week. I won't bore you with the reason why, but so I got a second one. My dad's got two. I've now got two, and they're really, really good. I really like, actually, while I was routing it to go outside, which is where it's going to live, I really like it in the hallway. So every time I walk down the hall in the evening, it lights up the hallway. And I'd never really considered using it inside the house, but really nice, yeah. So motion activated. You can screw it to the surface or just freestand it. And also, if you remember, Aidan, the ball comes out from the middle. So you can, if you want to, even if it's screwed to the wall, take the ball out and use it as a torch. You can then switch the switch to on instead of auto. Works really well. They're really nice lights. And they're still for sale all these years later. So good shout and reminder, Jeremy. And I'm glad that they've worked well for you.
I do remember them. I've got one. I mean, I don't know if I can call it still using because it's somewhere in the garage, in inverted commas. But I did buy one at the time and did indeed find it very useful. And as you say, I also made a habit at times of taking it out and using it as a torch. Very neat little device. Jeremy says he only had to change the AA batteries. Hurrah! You missed one. 3 times. But 3 times during what period? I mean, how long has he had them? A month? I mean, you know, but anyway, the point is still there. They're excellent product and good call, Jeremy. Thank you.
I can't. I'm trying to work out how often I replace my batteries. The trouble is that I use Eneloop batteries in them, so they're rechargeable, so I don't really notice. But typically, I think the one outside, I replace probably 2x a year or something. So they're quite good. Yeah, obviously, it depends on how much you use it. If I leave one in my hallway that lights up every time I walk past it, it's not going to be 2x a year, is it?
Well, yeah, exactly. Use case can change very, very. Yeah, yes, whatever.
Thank you.
Why people listen to this show, it's beyond me. Right, I bring you... My mother.
Perhaps they don't.
Perhaps they don't. We're just doing this all by ourselves, and it just goes out into the void. In a while, Chris Kelly gets in touch with the MeWe members and says, "Listen, should we just send a couple of messages to them and let them think we're listening?" Right. Listen. I'll tell you, Ted. If no one else is listening, I'm telling you, Ted. My mother has trouble in the car managing to reach right down to where the seat. I mean, it can be the same for anybody. If you're sitting in a car, sometimes you have to really sort of touch yourself up for a while trying to find the seatbelt around by your bum. And my mother has this trouble, especially with her arthritis and dexterity. And so I bought, for the princely sum of £7.06, I notice it's now £6.78, that's Amazon for you, a 10-inch seatbelt extender, which is beautiful. It's basically a sort of a 10-inch rod, a piece of metal coated with plastic, that's got a seat buckle socket on the top, and at the bottom is the plug, which you plug into the actual seatbelt in the car, thus giving a 10-inch extension to the seatbelt. I'm only working in inches, by the way, because it doesn't give me the metric. And it's very useful, and it's much, much easier now. My mum doesn't have to lean around nearly so far and can plug in the seatbelt with relative ease. And as I say, it was only £7. I can't vouch for its safety because I'm glad to say we haven't had an accident, but it seems to be perfectly strong. I've pulled and prodded it and tested it as best I knew how, and it seems to be safe and strong and does the trick, and I'm very happy with it. Seatbelt extender.
Spookily enough, this very week, my dad was telling me about one of his old friends who is almost as old as him, mm-hmm. and he's got a great big stomach on him. And I didn't know you were going to talk about this on the show, but it's just a spooky coincidence that his great big fat friend has bought one of these,
right.
And it seems to work. Yeah, so good stuff. Right, my cheapest chips is the Merry Men, heavy-duty packing tape, sticky packing parcel tape for parceling up boxes and stuff, which I do quite a lot, buying and selling stuff and moving stuff around from our lovely PSC Classifiers group. Anyway, you can probably buy these cheaper in your pound shop around the corner, but on Amazon, £3.49 for three rolls, 66 metres on each one of them. It's a really long roll, isn't it? Anyway, 48 millimetres wide and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, we've just found that we've gone back to these ones regularly and they work really well and they're decent enough quality to survive the journey. So, recommended. I didn't realise they were called Merry Men. I'm not quite sure what that's about. The Merry Men Heavy Duty Packaging Tape.
Yeah, that is weird. Still, if I ever need to package any Merry Men, I know what tape to use.
Ted's top tips.
Jeremy Harpham is back. What plastic bag to take to the supermarket? A small tip from my son, says Jeremy. If you use the self-scanning checkouts at your supermarket, it can be easy to accidentally scan the barcode on your reusable plastic bag and get charged again. I've done it twice myself and then had to seek out either a new bag to buy or an elusive assistant to correct it. Simply avoid the hassle by taking a different supermarket's reusable bag. if it actually scans the code, it won't be recognised then. I do this all the time. We've got these Iceland bags in the house, and if I ever take a bag to Tesco, I always take the Iceland ones because the Iceland ones are better quality and they're a bit bigger and they're just better all round. So hang that. And I don't. No one's ever given me a strange look or anything. But anyway, yeah, a tip from Jeremy, try and do what I'm doing naturally.
Adrian Brains dropped into the group and said, stick a bit of parcel tape over the barcode. That's also a good tip. Do you know what? I haven't used a plastic bag in a supermarket for months, if not years. I mean, my general routine is the food goes onto the way to be paid. It goes back into the trolley. I wheel the trolley to the car. It comes out of the trolley and into a box in the car. And then when I get home, I carry the box from the car to the kitchen.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. Bags? Yeah. What are they?
Yeah. A box in the car is what you want.
Nah, this is what I want. What I want. See what I did there? Oh, please yourselves.
I want one of those.
Now, I have No, I'm not going to let you start. I'm going to start. I wanted to say, this is fiendish, and I loved it, and I was very sorry to discover that it's only a concept, because I probably would have bought one. But please, continue.
Yes, well, what I said here was, who needs bleeding expensive Ember mugs, eh? Like Aidan Bell. This designer just sold cold coffee with one candle. This Germaine Bracken's concept, which is called a warmer, and it tackles the task of an expensive Ember mug with a candle. So what we've got is this concept thingy where you've got a, what are those candles called?
Tea candles.
So it's got a hole in the bottom and then a mug and a holder over it. You light the candle underneath and it keeps your coffee warm. And it's just an idea that presumably this guy is trying to get to market. There's a certain danger aspect to it, I suppose. But it looks like an awful lot of fun, doesn't it?
And it looks gorgeous because it's made of brushed aluminium. And it's really sexy and looks very good. And despite being the owner of an Ember mug, I'm holding it in my hand as I speak. I nevertheless want one of these. What a shame it's not on sale yet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Chris Kelly popped in talking about his Corksicle Classic Coffee Mug. Triple insulated. He says he bought it 3 years ago for £30. It keeps my tea warm for a good hour while I'm in the car park teaching my students to ride, says Chris, a location where the candle would, of course, not work. Moreover, unlike the £150 Ember Mug 2, it doesn't need charging. Yeah, but hang on. Never mind the £150. I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have spent it, but I did. But the point, I want to jump in about charging. Just as with phones, I've never understood the argument against something because it needs to be charged. My Ember mug has a saucer and it sits in the saucer and it's charging while it's in the saucer. I never have to think about charging it. I never have to worry about, is it charged? Is it not charged? It's always charged because it lives in its saucer. And on a side note, my phone lives in its Qi charger overnight and is charged in the morning. I never have to worry about charging my phone. I don't quite understand the argument of things are not so good because they need to be charged. Sorry, Chris, for that little rant. I do agree with you about the triple insulated mug. That looks lovely. And it's very Christmassy. The picture he's put on the here for us is a very nice red sort of Christmas jumper design, which I like very much. Your turn.
Maybe it's to do with the electricity, is his meaning. It costs money. But then you'd have to buy candles, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Or make them, I suppose.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you. That mug of his looks really nice. And that Christmassy design, it looks just like a jumper. I really like that. And those Corksicle mugs come with a lid as well, which is, really nice. I did have another look around on Amazon, though. When I saw that the Ember Mug 2 was £150, well, that's the RRP. It's actually more like 120 or 30, but in real money. But I had a look around at alternatives, and I found this one called the Next Mug, which was £85. But it looks very much like what the Ember Mug does. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I don't quite get this whole thing that you obviously do. I think you'd have to be a bit of a mug to pay for this for this kind of device, rather than get off your arse now and again to a microwave or, you know, reheat something or indeed drink the bleeding drink a bit quicker.
If I put tea or coffee to my lips and it's lukewarm, the reaction is, "Ugh!" It's just me. I once in a while, I quote Steve Litchfield from many years ago when I heard him say on the phone show chat, if you love something and it's wonderful and you use it every day and it gives you great joy and it's something that makes your life richer, why not pay for it? And yes, it was a stupid amount of money to pay for this thing, but I do use it every day. I am literally holding it in my hand as I speak to you because I drink my tea from it as we record. I use it every single day and I love it. So to you.
Raspberries. I've just had a closer look at the Next Mug, and I'm determined to get a link into this Next Mug because it's £85 and not as expensive. But I just noticed across the bottom there, it's got these little indicator thingies, which to some degree make it look like it tells you how hot it is or something. I need to have a closer look at that. If I was going to buy one, I'd try and get one for 85 quid rather than 150.
I'm going to fess up to our listeners here. I'm teasing Ted while he's trying to describe the mug. He's enlarged the picture of the mug in our recording notes so that he can see it better to describe to you. So I'm making it as small as I possibly can just to piss him off while we record. So if Ted sounded a little hesitant there, it was entirely me. Listen, I tell you what I want. I want an AeroBand Pocket Drum 2 Plus Somatosensory Digital Electronic Air Bluetooth drumstick set. £249.95. You get what ostensibly just looks like a pair of drumsticks. But I presume, because I haven't actually been anal enough to really research them, you air drum. And when you air drum, these things have positions in the air that you can hit to get a different drum sound. So the same way you can play an air guitar, people have made air guitars that actually work and you're not really holding a guitar. This thing, you just hold the drumsticks and you drum imaginary drums in front of you and they play. I have played the drums. I used to play the drums badly in my youth, and it's something I've always thought I'd quite like to do again. Apparently it's very good against Alzheimer's, so I really should think about taking it up. But yeah, I'd love to try these out. I'd love to play with these. Again, it's one of those things I've said many, many times on the show. I probably don't want to own some. I just want to meet someone who's got some and say, oh, can I just play with these for half an hour? And then I'll be satisfied. But they do look like a lot of fun. You sit down, you pretend you're sat at a drum set, you wave these sticks in the air, and you'll actually get drum sounds depending on where and how hard you wave them. Looks like a lot of fun, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. You're quite right. If I was into that sort of thing, which I know you are, creating music, because you're a creative kind of cove, it would be great fun. Yeah, definitely. Very nice indeed. And 250 quid there.
Yeah,
I suppose you'd have to really you pay for the technology, don't you?
Yeah. Mind you, if you wanted to buy a drum kit, apart from disturbing the neighbours, you'd have to spend more than 250 on a decent drum kit. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, unless you get a crap one, you can still make a lot of noise with it. Now, I remember back in my tenting days and my motorhoming days, we spent quite a long time with tents, and putting them up was always the, you know, particularly if it's pissing down with rain and windy, was always the absolute pain in the whole procedure. You get to where you're going and you can't actually get undercover. You end up just sitting in the car because you don't want to be in the elements. This thing, this is an inflatable tent, basically, and you take it out of the car and chuck it on the floor, and presumably you only have to press a button and it self ignites, self inflates. That's the word. And it just looks like, why would anyone not be doing this? Possibly because of the cost, which is £1,000. But it looks like a proper structure, a room. Now, the inflatable bits are only around the frame of it, obviously, because that's what holds the shape of it. But once it's up, and it just looks like a big room. And I'm sure there are variations on a theme here, but That to me, that would have made camping so much easier and quicker and more comfortable. And yes, so anyway, I want one of those. The 4 minute erection. The tagline is "Pump it up, the 4 minute erection."
I, as an adult, have never camped. When I was a child, there was a company called Canvas Holidays, and we used to go as a family to France and camp, but they were tents that were already there. You know, you just rocked up and your tent was on the campsite, right, and you went in and you had your holiday. Since then, I've barely ever set foot in a tent. So I don't really think I'm qualified to say this, but nevertheless I will. Doesn't it take the joy out of the camping experience? Isn't half the fun of camping shouting at each other and rowing and failing to put it up like a deck chair? And isn't that part of the experience? Yeah. If the thing is just done in 4 minutes flat, then why not just stay in a hotel?
Yes. Answers on a postcard to that one. We do know one of our members, Gareth Williams from South Wales.
Oh yes, that's lovely.
He's a real outdoorsman, and I'm sure he would be liking this idea. However, if you look at the pictures of it in the bag, it's a whacking great big bag. So you'd probably fill the whole boot of your car up with this great big thing.
Yes, I mean, the tent is quite reasonable, but the contraption to actually blow it up, and the motor and the cables, yes. All.
Anyway, there you go. The Alphago Cube, it's called. And at the moment, you can only buy it in South Africa, so don't get too excited, Gareth.
Whatever.
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 Worked.
Whatever worked.
Do. Right, Paul Kitchen is first in our show 86, which was the next one we were both on, called The Sticky Garage. I'm not sure why it was called The Sticky Garage, but anyway. And this was in July 2019. So, Paul Kitchen put forward this cool touch ice towel, and I bought one of these.
Oh,
so
I remember the ice
Paul.
Towel, yes.
It was great, and you can do what you like with this towel. You can put it into cold water and then wring it out, or you can put it in the freezer if you want, and you know. And then when you take it out, there's something about the weave in the material, in the microfiber or whatever it is, that holds the cold. And I was very dubious about this, but as it wasn't that expensive, I thought I'd get one anyway, because I, as you know, I don't know if I mentioned it before, I don't like the hot weather.
Really? I've got a pond in the garden, have I ever told you?
And there's something about the fibres that hold the cool. And I, as I say, I was dubious, but it really does work. And you put it round your neck. I put it round my neck, and it the coolness of it just stays. It's really impressive. So thank you to Paul for bringing that to the show. And that's the item I'd like to highlight from that very show.
Looking at the picture, I think the weave is very big and there's a lot of holes in it, which means the air can circulate and evaporate the water and cause the cooling effect, methinks. But I do remember, right. I do remember you were very keen on that and talked about it on several shows thereafter. Mm. So I'm glad it was successful. I tell you what I picked up from that show was the photo box sale. I'd never heard of photo box at the time, I believe. What is photo box, you may be asking? It's an online, you know, order your prints here shop. And it's been my go-to ever since. I had to sign up. You know, you can't change a light bulb without having to sign up for an account these days. So I've signed up to Photobox, and I found them very efficient, very good prices. Stuff arrives quickly and well. You may remember, Ted, it was a couple of years ago or more, several years ago now, I produced a book of photos I take
yes,
of wildlife.
I do.
That was from Photobox. Yeah. And whenever I've had to order stuff, I go my go-to is Photobox, and I find them excellent. So I don't know who brought that onto the show, but I thank them very much for it because I've been using them ever since.
Very good. Yeah, it does look nice. You can also buy blocks to hang on the wall.
Oh, they do everything. Something. Yes, they do canvas prints and regular prints and posters and books and mugs and T-shirts and God knows what. Yeah, I just use them as a photo print.
And a calendar.
And a calendar.
Actually, the mugs look a bit boring, but apart from that...
We could make a Ted Salmon calendar.
Cushions. What about a cushion? Jigsaw? Yeah.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, really nice. There will now be a short pause while Ted gets excited on Photobox.
Right, I'm putting into room 101, incompetent shop assistants.
Ooh.
Right? And I should explain. I ordered a battery for one of my phones, which was coming from Finland, but that's an aside. And it was being delivered to this shop in Abergele, a newsagent. What used to be called a newsagent. And I went in there. I got an email from Fairphone saying, your battery is in the shop. Mm-hmm. And it's been signed for by someone called Patel.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the shop, armed with my email and armed with my proof. UPS had delivered it. And I went into the shop, and this shop assistant swore, looked everywhere, swore blind that she knew all of the parcels that came in the shop. The UPS deliveries are all put in this place, and it wasn't there, and absolutely not. So I went back and took her at her word, and then I went back and... She checked the barcode and everything. It was all above board. Anyway, I went back home and I sent an email to Fairphone and to UPS and said, "Where's my stuff?" And they swore blind it was in the shop. It's been signed for. Anyway, a couple of days later, I went back. A different assistant put her hand straight on it and said, "Yeah, it's been here ever since it got here." So that previous shop assistant was obviously a complete buffoon, nincompoop. And...
So you're putting shop assistant singular, not shop assistants plural, I hope, into room 101.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I don't know if it was Patel, but it was Patel that had signed for it. Right. Anyway, yes, that particular shop assistant I will put in. I'm sure that it's one in a million.
You don't want to be shop assistantist. Oh, dear. But, you know, mine is also concerns shops. Trolley collecting. Now, no, there's nothing unusual about our Tesco. Large car park, three or four or five of these areas where you can return a trolley, you know, trolley collecting points. And they have lads who are hired to go around and you see these people pushing, you know, 20, 30, 40 trolleys at once to return them to the shop. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that that was a point not only to return a trolley when you finish with it, but also to pick up a trolley when you want one. I arrive at Tesco with my mother, who is a little unstable on her feet. So the first thing I do is find a trolley and bring it to the car so that my mother can get out of the car and use the trolley to support herself to walk to the shop. The bloody things are always empty. I mean, quite in the opposite to your criticising your shop assistant, the shop assistants at Tesco are too efficient because they are constantly collecting all the trolleys from the trolley area and taking them back to the shop. So when Aidan and Hazel arrive to want to go shopping, there are no trolleys in the thing. Surely it makes sense, does it not, to clear away all but a few of the trolleys from the collection point so that people who arrive and want to pick up a trolley can do so. That's my rant.
I think that your experience is unusual, personally, because whenever I go to the... By the entrance to Tesco, there are two big trolley parks, and I always assume that that's where I'm going to get my trolley from, not from a drop point in those shelters that are scattered around the car park. I never assume that I would go and get one from there. Now, if I was walking past it and I saw one, I might do. But my assumption is that the ones by the front door are the ones where you pick them up from. I get your point.
That's because you're able-bodied and healthy and able to do it yourself. Yeah. I mean, surely a big corporation like Tesco has to think of all its customers, some of whom, especially near the disabled bays, will need, anyway, there we are, there it is. You're being too efficient, Tesco.
I'll tell you what's really annoying is when you do the decent thing and pick up a trolley that's been abandoned somewhere.
Oh, yes.
And then you start to push it and it's got the wheel lock on it.
Yeah, that's why it was abandoned, yes.
They stopped it from leaving the car park by putting this lock on it. And you can't use it and bring it back. Stupid people.
Or the one when you're halfway round the shop and you realise you've got a dreadful trolley and you think, can I be bothered to go all the way back and replace it? No, I can't. I'll just push this thing round the shop for the rest of my shop.
Or pull it.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to give gold stars to two people this time.
Oh, hello.
One is... the Anchor UK support, and Gemini, of course. My Anchor 521 power station went tits up after 3 years of use. And I went to Gemini and I got her to lead me through all the troubleshooting and all the tests and all the stuff and everything I needed to do. And she then declared that it was bollocks. And so I... She told me what exactly to write in an email, what email address to use. I got the receipt for it digitally. I sent off the email to them. I got a reply from them saying, yes, no problem at all. Can you just do as a short video? Gemini told me how to shoot the video, what to do, and blah, 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 because I don't know how to use video shooting on phones. And she drafted the subsequent email and blah, blah, blah. And Anchor, good as gold, with all this done, praised me on my efficient email technique and evidence gathering. I didn't tell them that it was Gemini. And no arguments. They don't want the old one back. They agree that it's knackered, and they're sending me a new one, which is arriving tomorrow morning. And into the bargain, I get two power cables out of it, which is really good. So, because I've got the old one, and I'll have to take the old battery to the tip. No, I won't actually, because Abigail now has this pink bag electricals collection thingy, so I can just put them outside the house.
Ted, excellent. 2 points, if I may, there. First of all, don't you think it's 2 gold stars? Don't you think Gemini deserves a gold star?
Because they got one last time.
And point two, I can't believe that the presenter of PSC has just admitted on air that he doesn't know how to shoot video on a phone. That one tickled me as it went by. I just thought I'd say that.
I just don't ever shoot video. Of course, I did, but I never shoot video. And it's just like I barely use the cameras on phones, frankly. Anyway. My other one was, I made reference earlier to my dad's head.
Yes.
And he's been having this treatment on the top of his head. And I wanted to give a shout out to Spire Healthcare and Abigail, really. I know we shouldn't have to spend money. My dad shouldn't have to spend money with the NHS in flow. But the people at Spire, I have to say, are the nicest bunch of people anyone could hope to meet. They treat patients like customers, not numbers. Like paying customers, really. Like Anchor treated me because I was a paying customer.
Yes.
I mean, the irony being that in the NHS, most of us are or have been paying customers, you know, shape or form through our experience of paying our stamp or whatever. But anyway, let's not go into the politics of that. The point is that the people in Spire are just lovely. And it comes across like you're being treated like it's some sort of coffee shop, and they actually want your custom, and I'm afraid that doesn't seem to always ring true with NHS outlets, because they're so busy, no doubt, and there's so much demand on what they're doing. But anyway, there you go. Those are my 2 gold stars.
Most excellent indeed, Ted. Thank you.
We're done, I think. We're up to the hour, and we're going to be back with our February show in a few short weeks. So whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find links to all the stuff we've been talking about today. AidenBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. And at that very address, you'll also find links to all of our other audio podcasts and all of our MeWe groups, where we would like you to join us and tell us whatever works in your life, so we've got fodder for shows going forward. It's been great to chat with you again in December. Oh no, hang on a minute. We're in December now, so the next show is not February. The next show is January.
I was waiting to tell you that. I was going to drop that in, but thank you. You found it yourself.
Yes. So, have you got any last words, pearls of wisdom for us?
I have. I've got 2 last words for everybody. Happy Christmas! Yeah, it is Christmas. Oh, we won't speak to you again until after the festive season. So everybody, have a fantastic Christmas. Enjoy yourselves. Eat lots. Spend lots. Do lots. Enjoy life. You never know what's around the corner. Happy Christmas!
I never thought of that. I never realised for 1 minute that we wouldn't be talking again until after Christmas and after New Year as well. So yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you all for your support during 2025. It's been great, and for you chipping in and keeping the flow of stuff going and us keeping the podcast going. So thank you very much. And yes, I join Aidan in saying Merry Christmas to you all and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And one last thing to say, Aidan, as always, don't forget,
whatever works.
works.